I always like coming here to talk to you guys because I always get a bunch of smiling faces back at me. I don't know if it's because of that you guys actually like me or that you get to the donuts quicker. I don't know what it is, but and I had something for you, and I'll probably get to it, but like out of nowhere, 30 seconds ago, God's like, here, boom. God so loved the world, and not just the planet, like the circle thing that we live on. God so loved you, every single one of you, that he sent a part of himself down here. For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. Amen. A lot of us know that. I mean, even if you don't know anything about the Bible, you see that if you watch football games, a guy holding up the sign, John 3:16, you know, it's great. But when you break it down, so God so loved the people of the world, even when we didn't deserve it. Because we read in the Bible, man, God had to send a flood one time to wipe out almost everyone. Just a handful of people remained because of how much wickedness was in the world. That's still the world that he's talking about in that verse. For God so loved every single one of us that he sent his one and only Son, which is a part of him. God sent part of himself. God is the most supreme being ever and will ever be. He's the only thing that's ever been here from the beginning. And yet, he sees us. We little finite, tiny creatures, as opposed to who God is and everything that he has ever created and has ever done, right?
Right.
But you are so important that he lays part of himself down for you. You know, I was in the military, in the army, and we hear all these heroic stories, especially we just had Memorial Day, about people laying down their lives for their country. And you have stories where people, soldiers laid down their life for their fellow soldiers. All the time you hear stories of soldiers jumping on a grenade to save their teammates. They get blown to pieces, but their comrades remain. That's exactly what God did. Some of us can't even lay our lives down for our friend just to, like, I don't know, say hi or smile at him.
There's no greater love.
That's right. There's no greater love than one who lays down his life for his brother. And the reason why he can say that is because God did the very thing. He actually gave up his life, part of him, to come down here and die on the cross for our sins because we messed things up. But that's how important you are to him. He loves everyone in this world, no matter if you believe in him, no matter if you love him back, no matter if you're doing right or wrong in whoever's eyes, it does not matter. His love is not a condition of what we do and when we do it and how we do things. He is love. We have a lot of different definitions of love, and if you ask 10 different people what love is, you'll probably get 10 different answers. Right? Especially if you ask them in different parts of the country, different parts of the world, different however much money people make, you know, different demographics, you usually get different answers. But I can tell you that there is only one definition, and it's God. And when you look into who God is, all his different attributes, then you start to realize what love actually is. You know, usually at weddings we go and they say love is patient, love is kind, love is not boastful, love does not envy. And it's always nice, you know, you see the two people standing up there like, oh yeah, we'll never do that. Right? It's defining what love is. And if God is love, it's defining who God is. God is patient. Because if he wasn't, none of us would be here. Right? I don't think we would even be thought of because way before we were even created, it would have been over. Right? So, God so loved us that he sent Jesus down here And the reason why he had to do that is because, one, he created. There's Adam and Eve. And I know some of us have heard this a lot. And it's great to even think about it every single day because it just shows you how much God loves you. He created Adam and Eve and put them in a garden that was perfect. I mean, there was no such thing as death or disease. I wouldn't have this sinus infection or whatever I got right now. You know, it just didn't exist. Because of some things that happened, of course, Adam and Eve did something they weren't supposed to do. They went against God, which is called sin. And because of sin, because God is so holy, He is so righteous, there's nothing in Him that is imperfect. Because He is that way, and man now went against that, and we tarnished who we were, we had to be separated from Him. If we weren't separated from Him, we would burn up. You know, when we get to heaven, all of our things that we've done on earth are going to be displayed. And He's going to send down His holy fire. Everything that is not holy gets burnt up. And you're left with what you did that was holy. That's the same thing with Adam and Eve. If we wouldn't have that separation there, we would have been destroyed. We had to be separated because God is so holy. But God didn't stop there. He'd started before the world even existed, before He even created. He already started things in motion that can be told by astrologers. I don't know if anyone knows anything knows about astrology, the good astrology, right? Studying the stars. They've been studying the Christmas star, the star that was over Bethlehem, yeah, that showed where Jesus was going to be. And there's different verses in the Bible. I don't know at all. I've watched people have studies on it, so I can only tell you what I've heard from them. There's tons of stuff out there if you actually research it, but I'll give you the layman's term, my terms. When they study the star and they start studying scripture about this star, it was actually put in motion when all the other stars were put in motion. Because if you didn't know anything about sailing, that's how you know where to go. You look at the stars, you get your maps, because the stars are always constant. You know how to get somewhere by studying the stars and know where you're at and triangulating your position on where those stars are. So it can't be just like all of a sudden, okay, that star's here today and oh, it's there tomorrow. No, it's not random. It's set. It has been set. That's why if you don't want to use GPS, you can still do what they did back in the 1600s to get here. 1492, that's when it was. Columbus sailed the ocean blue in 1492, right? What they did back then, the sail, we can still do today. That means that has to be constant. So this star that was over Bethlehem, they have studied and it lines up with all this different scripture about how it interchanges or interconnects with all these different stars, and where it would have to be created, it had to set in motion way back then. So, I already told you that I'm a youth leader, and if anybody knows anything about teens, they have questions, right? A lot of questions. The great thing, and I tell them, the great thing about following Jesus is He wants your questions. If you look at all these different religions and all these different things that people follow, you get punished for questioning anything, right? I mean, Scientology, I'll just throw that one out there. If you start questioning things about Scientology or the things that they believe or why you have to do something, they get pretty mean. They physically get mean, and I've heard stories of them locking you up and all these different things. But Jesus welcomes your questions in the correct manner, right? Like, why do you do this? Or why is it this way? Why do we have to do this? He's like, yeah, I got answers for you. And he'll tell you. So this is the I don't know really any other beliefs that you can get that welcomes your questions. So, from the very beginning, we see that God knew, because God knows everything, right? Mm-hmm. It tells us in our Bible that He knows everything. So my question was, if you know everything, why were we even created? If you knew that Adam and Eve were going to mess up and go against you and we'd have to be separated, why even start it, right? Like, God was like, oh, I got an idea. Oh, nope, they messed that up already. Right? But we come back to that there is no greater love than one who lays his life down for another. I think that God, from the very beginning, wants to show you how much he loves you. That you're worth it. You know, some of us have done things in our lives, and we're like, man, why did God even create me if he knows everything and he knew that I was going to mess up this bad? Or if he knew that I was going to do that? Or why did God create me if he knew that was going to happen to me? Because he wants to show you his love. Despite all things, no matter what, that's what it boils down to. He wants to show you how much he loves you. So God so loved everyone in this world, each one of you. And it's not just a generic, oh yeah, God loves you. No, he desperately loves you and pursues you every single day to show you how much he loves you. And he sent himself down here. And that if you believe in him, you will never have to be separated from him again. You know, we had to be separated when we sinned. But he brought Jesus. He already had a plan. Through Jesus, Jesus took on all the sins that were, was, and ever will be on himself and gave himself as the one last sacrifice for everyone. That all you have to do is accept that. All you have to do is say, yes, God, I accept. Please forgive me my sins. And I give you my life. That's where I was going to start today. About submission. You know, there's a difference between letting Jesus into your heart and giving Jesus your life. There's a difference between giving my wife my heart or giving her everything that I am. Right? We hear stories all the time. Oh, well, I'm just texting that other person. Oh, it's just words. Let me tell you, you ask any wife that if their husband is texting some other person the way he should be texting his wife, if she's upset, I'm pretty sure you'll get an answer, right? That's the same way God is. It's all or nothing. It's not, okay, Sunday is yours, Saturday night's mine, all right? That's the way we got it. No. But the thing is, God is so gentle. He nudges you along because some of us have fallen into that. I was one of those where maybe I wasn't as bad as the world would say as some people, but I wasn't totally submitted to him. Saturday was mine. I didn't explicitly state that, but if I look back before I totally sold out and said, God, you can have everything, my actions on throughout the week wouldn't display the same thing that I said on Sunday. Right? I know some of us are like that. And God is so gentle. He doesn't come in and say, oh, okay, bang. He's not like that wife would be. And we went through the same thing, right? So, so it's about a total submission, not just giving part of your life to him, but your whole life. And it's all about perspective, too. Because if we come into this thing, if we come into following Jesus from a mindset of, okay, now I have to go to church every Sunday. Now I have to follow the Ten Commandments. I better not use the Lord's name in vain. I better obey my parents. Okay, now I have to... We all know that there are 636 Old Testament commandments, right? We got the Big Ten, and then there's a whole bunch of other ones. If you try to follow every single one of those commandments, one, you're going to fall short, obviously. But two, you have the wrong perspective. It's not about following all these different rules and telling the world, no, well, no, I can't do that anymore because I don't believe that way. Or no, I can't do that because Jesus told me not to. Or no, now I can't do that because the Bible says. It's not that perspective. It's telling God, yes. Yes, I will do that. Yeah, I want to do that. Yeah, I'll be there. God, my life is yours. Yes, I'll do that. It's a change in mindset. And when we try to do it from a a doing perspective, like, okay, you have to do this, this, and this. On these days, we're going to do this because of this and all these different... Like, if we have a list of things that we say we have to do... Now, I'm not saying we're all sitting around doing nothing, right? What I'm talking about is a mindset. From incorporating Jesus into your life or giving Him your life. From a perspective of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Back in Jesus' day, the righteous, you know, the rabbis, you had two groups, the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they were the ones looked at as the righteous people, right? They were very well recognized, just like the Catholic Church. If you see the picture of the Pope, you know it's the Pope, right? Like, because he's got all of his stuff on. Well, that's the same way with the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they had all these different rules that you had to follow. And if you didn't follow those, well, then you were unrighteous and you had to do all these different things, right? You had to sacrifice. And the thing is, what they were saying, yes, you have to follow these rules. And this is what the Old Testament, because they didn't call it the Old Testament in their days, of course. It was the writings of Moses, Torah, and all that. The scriptures, you had to do what they said. But their intent was wrong, right? And that's what Jesus battled the whole time that he was in Jerusalem with them. They were always coming at him with the intent. You know, we know the story one time when they were asking Jesus, well, there's 636 commandments in the scriptures. Which one's the best one? They weren't asking like, man, there's so many things in the Bible that say that I have to follow them. What one's the best one? Like, what one do I really... That wasn't their intent. Their intent was, I'm smarter than you. I've been here longer. What do you say about this? Because they always tried to strike him down and try to show that he was blaspheming. That way, then they could kill him, right? What was Jesus' response when they said that? He said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and all your strength. He said, this is the first and the greatest commandment. He said, and love your neighbor as yourself. And he summed it up. He said, all the law and the prophets, meaning the whole Old Testament, all that hinges on these things. If you love God with everything you are, he touched everything, all your heart, all your soul, all your mind, all your strength. If you do that, and then almost if you do that, you're going to love your neighbor as yourself. There's no way. He said that's what it all boils down to. It's that intent. It's not about, it never was about doing a list of things. It was always about that relationship. See, another name for a relationship is a partnership. You know, God wants a partnership with you. If it was about all these different things, what we did, how we did it, when we did it, Jesus wouldn't have asked the disciples to follow him right then. It would have been more like, let's say this. I like to hike. I've been California, Colorado, Virginia. I love hiking. So let's say my son Mason comes to me and says, hey, I want to go hiking. Or I can say, Mason, you want to go hiking? Yeah, sure. Okay. This is what you got to do. All right, you got to go to REI, a huge camping store. You need to go get you some clothes. You know, some good hiking pants, hiking shirt, wickens away the sweat, you know, that way you stay cool. Okay, then you got to go get hiking boots. Make sure you get the good kind, because you don't want them falling apart. Oh, okay. Now, after you get those hiking boots, if you walk around the corner, you need to go get a map. Because if you don't have a map, you're not going to know where you're at. Now, with that map, you need a compass. Because a map without a compass will do you no good. Oh, okay. Now, after you get all those, you need a backpack. Because you got to carry it somehow, right? Okay, now, what was that? Was that hiking boots and shoes? Or what? Did you say socks? No. Okay, after that backpack, now you have to go get a bladder for your water, because if you don't have any water, you're not going to last very long. Okay, so now I need some water. Now, after that, you want to make sure you get a hat, because you don't want the sun beating down on you. And I'm giving all these things that he has to do. He's like, I just wanted to go hiking, right? Matthew 4:18 is, you can turn there if you want to. You don't have to if you don't want to. It's when Jesus calls the first disciples. Matthew 4:18, it says, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. At once they left their nets and followed him. There's other, of course, Mark, Luke, and John also have that story in it, and there's different details that go in the different in that same story. What I want you to look at is, he said, follow me, and at once they did it. I don't necessarily think it was, follow me, okay, let's go. I think once he said it, in their mind, they're, yes, I will do it. There might have been more conversation, they might have did some more things, but at that moment when Jesus said, follow me, in their mind they switched and said, yes, I will follow you. Now, what I don't read after that is Jesus says, okay, if you want to follow me, you got to get some sandals. Right? Because we're going to walk a lot. Now, with those sandals, you want to probably get some more straps, because you're probably going to break a few. Now, we need some food, we need some firewood, call all your contacts, because we're going to be walking around. I want to be able to stay in a house every once in a while, not out in the wilderness. Right, he didn't say that. He didn't give them a whole bunch of things. All he said was, follow me, and they said yes. Some of us need to be, I know I, that speaks to me. Because one thing that I want to do is be totally submitted to where when God says, do this, I say yes. Well, I don't say, okay, well, I want to do that, but first I have to do these, or, okay, it sounds good, but what about this? I've used this example before. My wife, it's been 2 years ago, I think, we went to School of Supernatural Life Ministry. Was it 2 years? Last year, maybe. I'm not good with time sometimes. So, there's this, she went to a conference, and she heard about this school in Harrisburg, Pennsylvania. That's close to where Pastor Stark and Carol went this week. It's about 6 hours away. And the school was on Monday and Tuesday. So, she comes back and she goes, hey, God said that I am to do this. I know I felt it in me. I need to do this. The funny thing was, before she came back, because she left with a friend to go to the conference, I was on midnight shift at the sheriff's office here in Coshocton. I knew God laid on me, hey, your wife's going to ask you something, and you have to let her do it. And I'm like, okay, that's weird. So the whole time that she's down in the conference, from the moment she knows that she's supposed to go there for school, she's like, oh man, how am I going to ask Ryan? I'm going to go back there. This is 6 hours away. We obviously don't have any money, right? We live paycheck to paycheck like a lot of us, right? How am I going to do this? So she comes to me and she's like, oh man, I got something to ask you. And I just start smiling. I'm like, okay, let's do it. And she's like, well, I didn't think you would really go for it, because we don't have any money. It's 6 hours away. At that time, we had been married like a year and a half, probably. Still newlywed. There's a lot of things against us, but we didn't say, okay, well, how are we going to do this? She said yes, and I said yes with her. There were still things to get worked out. We didn't have the money. We didn't know where the money was coming from. It was $2,000 or so. You know, it was more than that. Because after you factor in the rent, the gas going from here to 6 hours away and back, there's a lot of different things we have to figure out. But we didn't say, okay, God, well, at first, if you give us the money, then we'll know it's what it's for. And then if somebody calls us and says, I got a house for you, then, okay, that might add a little bit to it. And then we might be leaning towards yes. We didn't. We said yes. we ended up finding a place to live. Not we, she did. I mean, I didn't go. But we're one, right? So I can say we. Found a place to go. We still didn't have the money. It was a day, maybe 2 days before, I forget which one, maybe a day before. And all of a sudden, all the money came in at once. And we wrote a check for the tuition, and boom, she went to school, and she was there for the rest of the year. And she got, because she said yes, God provided it for her. You know, that, and that's what I need to do. I know that I'm working on every little part in my life to where I can do that. Where God says, hey, I need you to go do this. And I say, yes. It's not, oh, that doesn't make sense, because I still got this, this, and this to go. Right? And with this, the one thing we don't want to fall into is what the Pharisees and the Sadducees started, what they were doing. You know, I'm glad they're in the Bible because I can relate to them. Because they were sitting on their high horse, their throne, pointing at people, oh, you did this and you did that. You can't do this, you can't do that. And I find myself getting into that sometimes. Not as much anymore once I decided I wasn't going to just incorporate Jesus in my life, but give him everything. You know, the worst thing we can do as followers of Jesus is to confess him with our mouth, but deny him with our actions. People are always looking at us to say, oh yeah, but you did that too, or you did that too. And the last thing we want to do is say, well, Jesus says not to do that. And how dare you do that? And then we go out and deny Jesus with however we're doing. Laying on the horn and yelling at people for cutting us off. Little things like that. To where it could be big things too. You come here on Sunday and I know I'm saying to stop. And if the shoe fits, kick it off. If I'm talking to you, say, hey, no more. When we come here on Sunday and, oh yeah, that's so great. Yeah, oh yeah, Jesus loves you. Oh yeah, Jesus loves you too. And then the very next day, we don't even look like anything that would relate to Jesus, right? And I come back to the very beginning. That because God loved us from the very beginning, before we were even thought, he already set a plan in motion to come and bring you back to him. He never stops. I know we have loved ones that aren't following Jesus. That right now, I'll put it blatantly, they will go to hell if they died right now. I know we do that. The amazing thing is, God loves them just as much as he loves me. And God is pursuing them just as much as he pursues me. He never stops. That's why we can have hope. That's why we have that hope when we pray for our loved ones or whoever it is. That, man, God, they need you. Put somebody in their life. Get their attention somehow. And he hears it because he wants them just as much as he wanted anybody. So I'm going to close with just, I guess you call it a challenge. I don't know. Just an offer that this week really think about who you live for and why. Whether you're totally sold out or you just let him in a part of your life. Like, okay, you can have this, but this part's mine. Because that's not what it's about. It's about that one-on-one relationship. That's what it's always been about. That's why he brought Jesus here. That's why he's constantly pursuing you. It's not about coming to church on Sunday. Yeah, you need to come to church. But that's not what it's about. It's not about coming here and getting your gold star for the day because you made it to the building. It's about becoming the church. So, if during this week or whenever it is, if this comes back to your mind, say, God, I give you all of it. It might be scary. You might not know how it's going to happen. But all he wants is your yes. That's all he wants. Because he'll add on everything else. I know that on Christmas, Yeah, the kids have fun tearing open their presents, but how much more is it fun of parents? You know, you get to see the kids open their presents, like, oh my gosh, look at this, and they're so, and that makes parents happy too, right? Like, oh, that's cool. That's the same way with God. He doesn't expect you to have everything lined up. He wants to give it to you as a present. And just watch you as you open it up, like, oh my goodness, look at this. All right. Lord, I thank you for allowing me to come and visit and speak to these amazing people, that they are an example of your love every single day with everyone that they meet. Holy Spirit, I just ask as you, every minute of every day, if there's something that we're doing or some place that you want to change and transform us into more of an example of you, or just that definition of love that you are, Lord, I ask you to just bring it to our attention and give us the courage to submit to you everything that we are. Amen.